The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter. At that time there were some present who told Jesus about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. He answered them, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered these things? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all perish too. Or those 18 who were killed when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all the people living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all perish too." He told them this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. He came looking for fruit on it, but he did not find any. So he said to the gardener, "Look, for 3 years now, I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and I have found none. Cut it down. Why even let it use up the soil?" But the gardener replied to him, "Sir, leave it alone this year also, until I dig around it and put fertilizer on it. If it produces fruit next year, fine. But if not, then cut it down." This is the Gospel of the Lord. I'm a little frightened to do what I'm about to do. I'm going to put the scenario in our gospel reading into a hypothetical contemporary situation. I'm afraid that you're not going to like it, because Jesus thinks and speaks differently than we do. But I'm going to do it anyway, because what's the point of being Christ's disciple if you don't listen to Christ? So here goes. Did you hear what Vladimir Putin did the other day? He had his soldiers waiting in ambush by a Ukrainian church. And there were some old ladies who made their way to church to pray. So Putin had their tongues cut out and hung on the altar. Now, let me be clear, this is not what Vladimir Putin did. I made it up. But it is actually mild compared to what some people told Jesus in our gospel reading. They gave a news report. Pilate killed some Galileans. Galilee was where Jesus and his apostles were from. Pilate, the pagan Roman governor, killed them in church. They were making sacrifices. The blood of these men ended up being mixed with the blood of the animals that they were sacrificing. They didn't just have their tongues cut out, like in my hypothetical story. They were killed. Now, if you had heard my fake story about Vladimir Putin and had believed it to be true, what would you be thinking about? Especially if you personally knew the victims, like perhaps Jesus and the apostles knew the victims under Pilate, what would you be thinking about? You'd be thinking, what a monster. How cruel. Shame on him. How can he cut out people's tongues? How can we get payback? Your thoughts would paint him black as coal with fangs and horns. If your thoughts turned to the victims, you'd probably paint them white as doves. Those poor old ladies, how scared they must have been. Those poor Galileans, just trying to go to church. The people in Bible times were made of the very same flesh and blood that we have. Those people who turned on the news for Jesus, letting him know about the dastardly deeds of Pilate, were expecting Jesus to be outraged that that pagan, Pontius Pilate, and feel sorry for those victims. Where did Jesus send their thoughts? Not where you'd expect. First, he sent their thoughts to whether the victims deserved it or not. And then he had them examine themselves. He said, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the others in Galilee because they suffered these things? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all perish too." Again, I don't really want to do this, but let me put it into my fake scenario. Do you think those old Ukrainian women were worse than all the rest of the Ukrainians? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will have your tongues cut out too. I'm not going to waste my breath trying to make what Jesus says palatable to unbelievers. Unbelievers will think he is monstrous. There were plenty of people at that time who didn't like Jesus either. The flesh and blood that they had is the same flesh and blood that we have. And those who hate Jesus cannot learn anything from him. And Jesus is teaching something. So what is he teaching? First of all, Jesus is taking away two forms of justification that we find palatable and handy. We figure that a person is justified either by shifting the blame onto somebody else, where they're the bad ones, or we figure that we are justified if we've gone through a nasty bit of suffering. You can use one or the other, but we like it best when we can have both. Let me explain each of these justifications. We figure that we are justified if someone else is nastier than us. We are always on the lookout for someone nastier than us. I think this is why we like gossip so much. It's why we like hearing about dastardly deeds of others. If others are horrible, then we don't look so bad in comparison. Note that this is what happens when God questions Adam and Eve in the garden. Adam blames Eve and says to God, "If it wasn't for the woman that you, God, put here with me, I wouldn't have eaten." Eve blames the serpent. The serpent's a lot worse than she is. But they are not thereby justified. Each of us is responsible for his or her sins. Pointing to someone nastier than us doesn't make those sins go away. We also want to justify ourselves by the suffering that we've gone through. We've had a rough childhood. We've been mistreated by this person or that person or the other person. Our tongues were cut out. Our blood was splashed on the sacrifices. Surely someone who has had a miserable life has to have a better one in the next. How could it be that somebody be miserable in this life and then have misery in the next? That wouldn't be fair. Justice demands it. The fact is, though, that our suffering never atones for a single sin. Our suffering isn't at all redeeming. If anything, it is nothing other than what we simply deserve. We say this every Sunday. I, a poor, miserable sinner, deserve your punishment now and eternally. Even unbelievers should be able to see that our suffering isn't that noble or commendable. We immediately resent the suffering as soon as it comes upon us. We are hardly ever cheerful while we are going through it. We look for someone to blame for what we have suffered. It's the doctor's fault. It's the tobacco company's fault. Probably the worst thing that we do with our suffering is that we use it as an excuse to do bad things. I had a rough life, so now I'm going to drown my sorrows. I was treated like garbage by my parents, and so I can treat my children like garbage. my spouse hurt me, and so I can hurt right back. I mentioned that we like it best when we can use both to justify ourselves. We like it when there's some villain out there. We figure we can never be tossed into the same basket as Hitler or Stalin. We're not that bad. Look at their sins, not my sins. If you do have to look at me, then look how sad I am. Poor, poor me. Look what I've gone through. Everybody should feel sorry for me. The reason why Jesus sounds like such a jerk is that he cuts straight through these justifications that we like to rely upon. They're no good, though. You will never be justified by the badness of other people. You will never be justified by your sad story. You are responsible to God for your life. God is not swayed by popular opinion. He does not accept these justifications as being valid. This is what Jesus points out with his words. Jesus says, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans?" Jesus brings to mind that the victims of this crime were sinners. That's a big no-no. Very insensitive. Then he says that they were just like everybody else. They weren't worse sinners. Oh, good. Notice what he's doing there. He's tossing everyone into the same basket. He's tossing you into the same basket as the Hitlers and the Stalins. And then he says, unless you all repent, you likewise will all perish. Here we had been enjoying ourselves, listening to the news, appalled at the villains, and having oh so tender of a heart for the victims. We really do have a heart of gold, you know. And then Jesus has to come along and ruin it. He very rudely redirects our attention away from others and onto ourselves. Unless you repent, you will likewise perish. It is the easiest thing in the world for us to go through life without giving a second thought to our own responsibility. We can live our entire life feeling sorry for ourselves. We can blame this person and that person. We can alternate between the thoughts of shame on them and poor, poor me. If there's anything wrong with me, that has to be somebody else's fault. If there is anything wrong with me, surely it can't be as bad as what others have done. We love this stuff. You know why? Because it excuses us and gives us license to live however we might want. Within bounds, of course. We can't go cutting old ladies' tongues out or anything like that. But you know what? Sometimes those who do such awful things end up getting further ahead. Maybe there are more Christians in prison who have done horrible things than there are in some of our congregations, assuming that there are preachers of the gospel in these places. You know why? Because some of them have had their favorite justifications taken away. They don't play stupid games that the rest of us do. They can't pretend that they're not evil. That is to say, they repent. They know that it's their own fault. That is extremely rare. Wide is the gate, and easy is the way that leads to destruction. Narrow is the gate, and hard is the way that leads to eternal life. There is nothing more common in this world than for people to justify themselves. And while they justify themselves, they feel entitled to do whatever they please, again, within reason, of course. There's hardly anything rarer than those who confess that they are without excuse. They have no justification. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That is the hard way that leads to eternal life, because we have to admit that God is right when he judges me. Of course, God is also right when he says that he justifies me in Jesus Christ. Jesus' words are always going to sound impolite. He's taking away the ways that we prefer to deal with life. We prefer to live our life in such a way where we don't really have to think about God. It goes without saying then, of course, that we don't want to think about God being involved in our life in such a way where he would cause a tower to fall on us. We prefer our own justifications of ourselves to God's justification of us in Jesus Christ. With our own justifications of ourselves, we believe that we are sitting in the driver's seat of our life. We maintain our dignity. Whatever's wrong is probably somebody else's fault. What's wrong is not Putin's fault. It's not the Ukrainians' fault. It's not Biden's fault. It's not Trump's fault. It's not the Democrats' fault. It's not the Republicans' fault. Our nation is filled to the brim with smug, self-righteous people who are all too eager to condemn each other, and while they're at it, fleece each other out of house and home if that is at all possible. We pay attention to everything everybody else is doing wrong while we live however we want. We never consider that it is our own fault. Think about that. Everybody knows we're in a terrible mess. That's about the only thing that we all agree on. The proper way that we as Christ's disciples should think about this is that it's our fault. God is punishing us for our sins. We individually should repent, lest we likewise perish. Those so-called little sins that we do, they're hardly worth mentioning in comparison to cutting out people's tongues and such. What if it is our daily run-of-the-mill unrighteousness that has brought down these calamities upon our heads? It is never that beneficial to focus on other people's sins. If God has given you the authority and task of watching over others as far as how they live, then by all means do that job fearlessly and with gusto. But focusing on other people's sins never makes us better. We always come away from such activity feeling superior, feeling justified. That, however, is a fake, sin-producing, flimsy justification. It is only Jesus' justification, Jesus' atonement, that has stamped down flat evil and will ultimately stomp it down completely. Jesus' justification makes justice roll down as waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. We cannot justify ourselves. We cannot fix ourselves. But God forgives those who repent. He heals those who are wounded. God does a better job at being God than we ever will with all our lies to ourselves. Let God be God. You strive to be his faithful creature. Repent and believe in Jesus. The peace of God that transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.